Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
All the best marketing tactics are firmly grounded in principles of persuasion.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, everybody. Rick Mulready here. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. Hope that whatever you're up to today, you are doing well. This is episode number 113, and I'm really excited to welcome my friend Jack Bourne to the podcast today to talk about using urgency and scarcity in your business, specifically the psychology behind using urgency and scarcity so that you can sell more of your products or services in your business. Jack is the founder of a software company called Deadline Funnel, which some of you may have heard about, or maybe you're using that in your business right now. I've been using Deadline Funnel for about 2 years now, and I recently hung out with Jack at James Wedmore's Mastermind Weekend in Charleston, South Carolina, and thought he was a great guy. Being a user of Deadline Funnel myself in my business, it was really cool to talk with him and learn more about him and his business. And we also took the opportunity to break down some Facebook ads for his business, which, as you know, I always love to do. So in the episode today, we talk about why, since it's human nature to procrastinate, we need to force people to make a decision when they're looking to buy one of our products or services. And I mean this in a good way. So we talk a lot about that here today. We discuss why opportunities seem more valuable to people when they're less available. It's really, really interesting. We talk about why Robert Cialdini's his book, Influence, The Science and Practice of Persuasion, is a must read if you are selling anything. If you've not yet read that book, Robert Cialdini's Influence, highly recommend it. It's pretty dense. It's not really long, but it's pretty dense with content, but it is a must read on the psychology of why people do the things that they do when it comes to buying things. So if you are selling anything, highly recommend that book. I'll link it up for you in the show notes page. Jack shares examples of companies using urgency and scarcity successfully today. We talk about how to use flash sales in your business and why they flat out work. We talk about ways to use scarcity to sell more products or services in your business right now, how to automate scarcity in your product launches, and I share a personal example for my own business, how to create authenticity in your marketing automation. And as you'll hear today, this is a real theme throughout our conversation and the whole topic that we're talking about, authenticity and integrity. And we break all that down here for you today and a whole lot more. So let's jump right into it. Without further ado, let's go hang out with Jack Bourne. Jack, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. How's it going, my friend?
It's going great. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on here. We just recently hung out at a mastermind, James Wedmore's mastermind in Charleston, South Carolina. And I was really excited when James told me that you were going to be there because I've known who you are for a while, but I'd never met you. And one of the first things I said to you was, Jack, you're a lot taller than I thought you were going to be. Yeah. And I think you told me that you get that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I told a story about how, you know, it's strange. I've never heard anyone else talk about this, but so I'm 6'4" and I don't go around thinking about how tall I am versus other people until I meet someone who's like 6'2" or 6'3", and certainly if someone's taller.
Right.
But it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't think about it until you're looking at someone, you know, relatively tall and you're like, oh my gosh, that guy's a giant.
Yeah.
But I do get that a lot. Yeah.
Nice. Well, we're going to be talking about a topic here that we started chatting about at that mastermind that I was really excited about chatting about here on the show, because it's not, we've covered a little bit of it, but it's been a long time. I mean, probably close to a year since we've talked about it. And that is the topic of urgency and scarcity and how to sort of best use urgency and scarcity to sell more things, whether it's we have programs or services or whatever it might be. Before we get into that, tell us about yourself. Tell us about who you are and what you're up to and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so let me give the really quick version. So I'm a software entrepreneur, and what really gets me excited waking up day after day doing what I do is when I hear feedback from entrepreneurs that could be a solo entrepreneur or someone who's got a team, any size entrepreneur who's out there trying to make a difference in the world and sell their stuff, when they tell me, man, I used your software, I took your advice, and it really made a huge difference in my business. So that really gets me jazzed up and excited. I've been selling online in one form or another since about 2002 and never really looked back. So there was a short stint where I, even though I wasn't looking for sort of an apprenticeship or any sort of job or anything, I was doing my own thing. I actually had a nice continuity business back in 2009. There was an opportunity for me to compete and win, and I did win the chance to work shoulder to shoulder with Perry Marshall, who anyone who's a student of paid traffic probably knows that he wrote the definitive guide to Google AdWords. The one in Amazon is the ultimate guide to Google AdWords, and he also co-wrote the ultimate guide to Facebook advertising. And so he's pretty well known in terms of paid traffic, but also conversion. And he was a pioneering thought leader and is a pioneering thought leader in the direct response marketing space. So I had an opportunity to work with him for several years. And when I went to work with him, I said, you know, Perry, I'm really looking forward to this for X, Y, and Z reason, but you just need to know that you're hiring an entrepreneur. Like through and through in my bones, I like to create stuff. And so you're not hiring someone with an employee mentality. I'm doing this because I want to network. I want to learn. I want to grow and learn from you and some of the people in your network. And I did, but it was very clear from the very beginning, hey, I'm an entrepreneur and I thought it was going to be a year that we're working together, but I really liked Perry. He really liked me. And so we worked together for about 5 years. So lately, I started putting software out into the world. My first major one, it wasn't the first one, but the first one that really got people paying attention to me was called AW Pro Tools. And it solved a need for folks who use the email software called AWeber. At the time, see, I'd been using AWeber for a long time. For a while, they were the only game. And then Infusionsoft and ActiveCampaign, Entreport, et cetera, started eating away at their market share, or at least offering some additional functionality, some marketing automation. And so I saw an opportunity to build a platform that would plug into AWeber and with a click of a button, add in a lot of that marketing functionality, that marketing automation that you can get with, say, Infusionsoft or Entreport, et cetera. And so I launched it with the help of my good friend, Andre Chaperon, who promoted it to his list. And that was the running start that I needed. And it grew and grew and grew. Sold it off earlier this year to an investor. And in the meantime, I also started developing other software. So real quick, another one was SurveyFunnel.io, which we probably won't talk about much today, but it helps grow your list and segment your audience. And the one that we will be probably mentioning at least a few times in context will be DeadlineFunnel.com. And so that's software that helps people create authentic evergreen deadlines in their campaigns so that you can be running promotion all the time. But at the end of that sequence, there's a hard and fast deadline that you know, either buy it now or pay more later type of thing.
Yeah, I love it. And I've been using that for, geez, a couple of years now. And I actually was an early user of AW Pro Tools. I don't know if I mentioned that to you over last weekend there, but yeah, I was an early user there. I didn't put the two and two together that you were behind that until fairly recently, actually. You mentioned something. So Barry was on the podcast here way back on episode number 27. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So those of you guys who are listening, if you want to go back and if you've not heard the Perry Marshall episode, it's rickmulready.com/27. And we really dove into the whole 80-20 principle of sales and marketing, which is the topic of his, or the title, I should say, of his book, which is hands down one of the, in my opinion, one of the best business books around, and the whole 80-20 principle, and Perry puts it into context of sales and marketing. You mentioned something, and we'll get into the urgency and scarcity here, Jack, in just a second, mm-hmm. but you mentioned something that I found was really interesting that you brought up there. You said that you told Perry that you were, you know, you were going to work with him, but that you were coming from the mentality of an entrepreneur and right. not an employee, which I thought was really interesting that you said that, because this is one of those really, it's a big topic for, you know, us business owners when we're looking to hire people, that mm-hmm. if we can try, I mean, depending on the scope of what we're hiring for and stuff like that, it can get very frustrating if we are hiring people from that entrepreneurial mindset and we go through the, you know, spending all the time to get them up to speed and train them and whatever for the team. And then all of a sudden their entrepreneurial efforts take them in a different direction, which can be very frustrating. What was Perry's response to you when you told him that?
His response at the time was great. I mean, I think he appreciated me being completely blunt. And I mean, yeah. all the cards are on the table. And I frankly told him, I said, look, you know, I know that you can't promise, hey, if you create some sort of course that you're going to promote it, but I'm just going to go ahead and plant the seed. This is before, you know, day one of working with him. I said, look, down the road, if I create a course and you think that it's worth promoting, I would really like, I mean, that's one of the big reasons why I want to work with you. And so I was very upfront about it. Now, you know, not to get too off topic, but I think that, like, we all grow and learn over the years. And so I think looking back, so let me say this the right way. He hired at the same time two other guys. 5 years later, he and I were still working together. And I think it was an amazing experience. Like, I think I added a lot of value, and I think that he would say the same. He certainly added a lot of value to my education and experience and my networking. I think with all that he's learned over the years and everything that I've learned, I think that you've hit upon a point, which is that probably from a team building perspective, I think that hindsight being 2020, I don't think he has any regrets about hiring me. I think that he probably would have hired using different tools, some of which he actually developed to figure out the personalities on the team. Because what he did at the time, and he just didn't know better, and he would say the same thing, is that he hired a lot of people who were very much like him. And so when you have a team where you're replicating yourself, you're still missing some gaps. Yeah, you have team members, but you're missing, you know, the people who are going to see things in a dramatically different light or bring different skills to the table. And so he had a very interesting process for weeding out the people who weren't going to cut it. And I think he talks about that in his book, the 80-20 Sales and Marketing book. So that was the process that I went through. But there are other tools that he would, these days, he would layer on top of that to, you know, personality tests and things like that to make sure that he was hiring the right person for the right spot.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic. I mean, we could spend the whole episode talking just about that. And I think it's just, I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up. And I'm glad that we were able to just chat about that for a few minutes, because it is really important as we are building out our teams to be thinking about these types of things. But let's get back to the sort of the whole concept of urgency and scarcity and the psychology behind it. We haven't talked about this, but, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this today, but, you know, the whole book called Influence by Robert Cialdini is about this, is about the, not necessarily all about urgency and scarcity, but this is one of the principles in the book. But, you know, for those of you guys who are listening who have not heard of this book, highly recommend this book. I mean, it's kind of it's one of those books that is a must read for entrepreneurs and business owners to understand. It's all about the science and practice of persuasion. And, you know, I think that the principles and topics that are covered in there get thrown around a lot. And so this whole urgency and scarcity, I think a lot of people use it in their business, but really don't understand maybe why they're using it, or maybe they don't understand that they're actually using it. So talk to us about that and using urgency and scarcity in our business to sell more, let's call it stuff, and why it works?
Yeah. So all the best marketing tactics are firmly grounded in principles of persuasion. And so I love that you brought up this book. If anyone who's out there who doesn't have this book, you absolutely have to get it, Book Influence. Strangely enough, I actually was given this book as a textbook for a social psychology class when I was in college, and it blew my mind because a lot of the lessons that you learn in there fly in the face of this concept of us acting as rational creatures. So we have cognitive biases, and that's something that we're going to be talking about a bit today, I think. And so there are certain things that go on in our head which don't necessarily have to do with logically weighing the pros and cons. A lot of times we react in ways that are only predictable once you're a student of psychology and you understand how we're wired. So one of the things that we're going to hit on a whole bunch today, we'll probably talk about a bunch, is this concept of loss aversion. And basically what it means is that all sorts of studies have been done, not just in the marketing realm, but in all sorts of different areas of life that seem to prove over and over and over again that as human beings, we are wired to avoid losses much more strongly than we are to seek out potential gain, whether that's financial gain or some other type of benefit. And there's a lot of different interesting examples that are outside of the realm of necessarily business or marketing, but there's plenty of examples inside the world of business and marketing. But I think intuitively, we have all seen this in our own business. So we've been either going through someone's product launch and felt that need, that compulsion to hit the buy button on the very last day. It's also interesting that most of us will procrastinate until that very last day. And that really comes down to one of the main things that our software does, which is that it forces people to make a decision. So one of the things that I tell people is, look, adding scarcity and urgency to your marketing is not going to fix really bad marketing. It's not going to, I hope this is okay to say, it's not going to polish a turd. You know, so if your marketing is bad, if you're selling to the wrong market, or your messaging is wrong, or you're trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist, just slapping a deadline on there or putting a countdown clock on the page or using scarcity in some other way, saying there's only five remaining, whether it's true or not. And of course, I'm only going to suggest that people do what's true and ethical, but regardless of how you use that, it's really only going to benefit you if you've already got a funnel that is working on some level. If you have a marketing funnel, if you have a sales process that is bringing in clients and you're not using a deadline, you're missing out on a lot of sales. Mm-hmm. And that's really the reason why I built Deadline Funnel. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I don't want to talk about the software too much, but let's talk about some of the companies that use deadlines and scarcity quite a bit. So one of my favorite examples is Amazon recently had their biggest sales day ever of their entire history. And the sales event that they had was called Prime Day. And anyone who saw that going on knows what it was, but just to recap, the entire day was dedicated to a never-ending series of short flash sales, where you had a limited amount of time to take action and buy something at a deep discount, and they would also show you the quantity. And so they would say, there's only 100 of these available, or 400 of these available, whatever the amount was. And so it was whichever went first. Either they ran out of this inventory for this item, or it ran out of time, and then they would replace it with another one. So that process of just having an entire day dedicated to quick flash sales that were built on urgency and scarcity generated their largest sales day ever, even though the entire day everything was selling at a discount. So that's a really concrete example of how using urgency and scarcity, if you do it the right way, can have a huge impact on your business. But there's lots of other ones. So Groupon uses urgency and scarcity in pretty much every promotion that they do. eBay, towards the end of the auction, they throw in the timer to show you how much time is left on the auction. And so all of these devices that are being used again and again and again by these companies, they're used because they work. Companies like Groupon and eBay and Amazon and many others that use urgency and scarcity, they track and measure every single little thing that they can. And they're putting all of this data into the algorithm, and they're figuring out what works and what doesn't. Throw out what doesn't work and keep doing what works. Mm-hmm. And so when you see companies like Amazon and eBay and Groupon continuing to use urgency and scarcity, you know that it works. So even in a situation where we've all seen promotions where there's only X number available or a certain amount of time left, so even though we know that it's having an effect on us, we still can't help it. And the proof is in the pudding. Amazon's huge sales day just underscores that it is hardwired in us to go after that which is pulled away from us. We're wired to avoid losses.
Yeah, I think that whole wired to avoid losses is really interesting. I had taken some notes here just as I went through the Influence book, talking about the exact type of things that you're mentioning there. And I didn't know, Jack, that that was the biggest day that Amazon had ever had, because that was fairly recently. I mean, we're recording this towards the end of November in 2016. Mm-hmm. And that Prime Day wasn't like, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, somewhere around there?
Right.
Yeah, yep. It was pretty recently. And we're coming up on, or when this episode comes out, we would just have had Cyber Monday and Black Friday, which is sort of that's the same concept that we're talking about here, where it's all these big sales or
Absolutely.
Big discounts, and it's only for a limited time. It's only for, you know, like these 24 hours here during this one day, you know. And one note that I had taken here before is this whole theory, and I think this is what you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, is that this whole theory of limiting the free choice, the opportunity to buy something whenever we want, when that is threatened, people want something more because of it. And I think that that's so fascinating that we are wired like that as far as the loss goes. And we often put more value, or higher value, I should say, on those things that are more difficult to get than, mm-hmm. you know, than things yes. that are easier to get.
Absolutely. I think it goes back to when we were cavemen and cavewomen. The most important resources, the life-sustaining resources that we and our families needed, were the scarce resources. And we spent most of our days either growing or hunting those resources. And so that which was scarce was extremely valuable. You have, I would imagine, this is just me hypothesizing, but you have several centuries or millennia of that type of behavior, and it kind of gets coded into the DNA. I think our loss aversion is a holdover from those days. But again, that's just my theory. What I do know is that there have been lots of different types of studies. Some of them are weird and strange, and I'll share some of those in just a bit. But they just show time and time again that just taking the same thing, the same outcome, and framing it differently can have a dramatic impact in how we respond. So let me give you an example. So there's a really thick tome of a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. Have you heard of that?
I've not read it yet. Is it good?
I'll confess. I made it through the first half, and then I skimmed the rest. I mean, it is a thick tome of a book, but it's by this guy named Daniel Kahneman. I hope I said his name correctly, but he's a Nobel Memorial Prize winner in economics. So a smart, smart dude. So he studies our cognitive biases, basically how our brains skew the way we evaluate and make decisions. So in the book, he talks a lot about this concept that I believe he came up with called System 1 thinking and System 2 thinking. So real quickly, System 1 is our impulsive and intuitive. It's when we get a hunch, that's System 1. System 2 is our logical side, where we weigh the different options and we ponder. But the thing is that they don't have the System 1 and System 2, according to the author, they don't have the same amount of endurance. So System 2 is lazier than System 1. And so in a lot of cases, this impulsive sort of jumping to conclusions system thinking process will sometimes take over. So let me give you just one example. So mathematically, there's really no difference between saying a certain surgery has a 90% chance of survival or a 10% chance of dying, 10% mortality rate. It's the same thing, 90 on one side of the coin, sure. 10% on the other. Mathematically, it's the same. The outcome's either you're going to live or die. But when groups of people were asked, hey, imagine that you needed life-saving surgery. You really need this. Would you take this life-saving surgery if the survival rate was 90% versus would you choose this surgery if there's a 10% chance that you're going to die?
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah, the outcome is dramatically different. So when it was framed in terms of a positive income versus a negative income, this is a dramatic difference in the way that people react. And they react when it's framed in a way where they're talking about 10% chance that you could die. Many, many fewer people say yes to that, even though mathematically it's the same. It shouldn't matter. So if we were completely logical and we weighed the pros and cons, it shouldn't matter. But in fact, it does matter. So when you frame it that way, it really emphasizes that we do have these cognitive biases.
How can we use all this stuff in our, because we're talking about, you know, the companies like Groupon and Amazon and so forth. How can we use these principles and, you know, what we've learned from these studies and so forth in our own businesses here?
So let me first talk about ways that anyone can use this, whether you're using our software or not. So first of all, I think one of the things that you want to start doing is you want to start thinking about how can you structure your marketing and your promotions in a way where it just naturally lends itself to having some sort of limit. So a perfect example would be a live event. So if you have a live event, there's, first of all, there's time where it's going to happen. So if you and I are going to put on a live event, we got to choose a date, get a venue, et cetera. Everyone understands this isn't some marketing gimmick. The event is on this date. And the day after that event, they're going to be cleaning up the room. If you're late, you're late. And yeah. So by having that event, you've already built in a deadline into that event. And you've probably built in actually a couple of deadlines because when, in my experience in helping Perry with some of the live events that he's done, there's actually some other deadlines. Some of them are hard deadlines and some of them are soft deadlines. So for example, we found that about 2 or 3 weeks out from the event, people who had to fly in were a lot less likely to make their plane reservations because the cost of travel and lodging goes up substantially. And so you have these other deadlines that you can build into it that are very logical and make sense. And so in the context of your communication or in the context of this event, it's very easy to explain why you have this deadline. The other deadline that's built into something like a live event, whether it's a physical live event or even some sort of webinar, is that there's a certain number of seats. So there's only so much capacity either in the room or on GoToWebinar. And so you can structure some of these promotions in a way where it's just natural. Everyone understands that there's only so many seats in the room. There's only so many seats on the webinar. And so those are some of the things that you can do very easily to build deadlines and scarcity into your promotions. But there's a lot of other things you can do as well. If you can add in a physical bonus, it can make sense to say, look, I'm going to throw in when you order before Friday, I'm going to add in this book. And by the way, we do a run with the publisher and we ordered 500 books because we get a discount if we order 500 at a time. And here's a picture of the box full of books. And once these books are gone, it's going to take us another month to order them and or a couple weeks to get them. And so we're doing this promotion. When these books run out, the promotion's over. So it's either over on Friday because we've picked that date or when these books run out. So if you have something physical that you can add into the promotion, a lot of times it's easy to have a very valid reason why the promotion is limited to X number, and that would be using scarcity. But the final thing is that I would really recommend, and we do this with product launches. Everyone does this with product launches. Even if you're not building up to something that is on everyone's calendar, such as Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you know, Christmas, or some other holiday, you shouldn't be afraid of having some sort of deadline that you choose arbitrarily. Now, by choosing an arbitrary date on the calendar, as long as you stick to it, that's a hard and fast deadline. It's just you chose it. Right? But why that date? Well, because that was the one that worked best for you. So when you're doing a product launch, you schedule out, this is when the cart's going to open, this is when the cart's going to close, and that's it. And you communicate it to everyone. And as long as you hold fast to what you tell everyone, I mean, you don't do some shady things where you open it back up or let people in after the deadline, then there's no reason why you can't just choose an arbitrary date that just works for you and your calendar and use that as your deadline.
Yeah, I think that you mentioned something really, really important. I mean, all of that was great. What you mentioned something really important there at the end, Jack, is that, you know, with the whole concept of integrity is that, you know, and I get request. And you hear a lot of stories out there about people having deadlines that, you know, look, the cart closed or the doors to the whatever program or whatever it was that the person was selling closed on, let's just say, Friday. And then, you know, emails come in Saturday, Monday, first of the week, and people are frantically saying, you know, hey, I missed the deadline. Can I get in? And I've always personally struggled with that because it's a case of, I'm just being completely honest here, it's a case of just wanting to be able to help people, you know, because people do have legitimate reasons for missing stuff. And I've also heard some really, really funny ones too, as I'm sure we all have. The other side of that is what you just mentioned there, Jack, is that it's integrity. You know, like, look, like if you say you're going to have a deadline on a certain, you know, certain day or certain time, that you stick to that because you're a person of integrity. You said this, so I'm going to follow through on that. And I think that's such an important thing that we need to remember here as we're using the whole this whole concept of urgency and scarcity in our business. Now, I want to talk about, you know, creating urgency and scarcity in sort of more of an evergreen funnel, because when I think of your product deadline funnel, we use it in our live launches as well. But we also use it in more of an automated basis, creating that urgency and scarcity sort of on an evergreen basis, which some people might think, well, that's opposite. Like if we're saying it's evergreen, you know, we can get into a program whenever it's available, whenever, but yet we are setting these deadlines. Talk to us about that, how, you know, both how it works and also from the integrity standpoint.
Sure. So my viewpoint, and I feel very strongly about this, is that there's a world of difference between automating something and being authentic. So the two are not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when someone says, just like you express, look, if I use this evergreen deadline, even if I'm using your software, well, isn't that being disingenuous? And my response is, no, it's not, because as long as what you're doing really enforces that deadline, and that's the purpose of our software, that's what deadlinefunnel.com does, then you're acting in integrity. If you tell someone, look, you have until this Thursday. Why this Thursday? Well, because they came in on Saturday. They opted into your funnel from a Facebook ad on Saturday. And just the way that it worked out is that Thursday was their deadline. For someone else, it might be Friday. But for that person, if you've done everything from a technology standpoint, if you've done everything that you can to enforce that deadline, then as far as I'm concerned, it's authentic and it's legitimate. It's no less authentic or legitimate than taking a series of emails and queuing them up in an autoresponder sequence, because you and I both know there are people who will join your newsletter list who think that email number 3 that you queued up 9 months ago was an email that you sat down and wrote to them. Now, yeah. You didn't say that you wrote it to them, but there are people who think that they're getting live emails sent out on a daily or weekly basis when in fact they're queued up in the autoresponder. So the whole concept of an autoresponder, and now we're into CRMs and marketing automation, this is all leveraging technology and marketing automation. And so by using that automation, we are freeing ourselves to work on other aspects of our business. So again, there's a difference between taking something and automating it. And just because you automate it doesn't mean that you're being inauthentic or disingenuous. Now, what I do see some people do, and we've all seen this, and it's ugly when we see it, and I highly recommend that no one do this, but we've all seen situations where someone has a countdown timer on the page and the thing goes to 0. We forgot to pull the trigger and we went back and we see that it's still at 0. We can still order. We may even refresh the page. Sometimes I have to reboot Chrome or reboot my computer. I reopen all the tabs and I see, wow, that deal that was supposed to expire a week ago, suddenly it's back in action. Like, yeah. I can still order it again. So that is certainly not what I'm advocating at all. So the whole reason why I built Deadline Funnel was to solve that problem, because I wanted an authentic evergreen system, regardless of whether I had 9 emails going out or whether I was using a webinar or not using a webinar, regardless of where my traffic was coming from, whether they're opting in or already on my list. No matter what the situation, I just wanted to be able to have a deadline and say, look, if you've been sitting on the fence, if you've been pondering this, if you've been putting it off the way that we all do, because that's the other thing about human nature. We all know this. I don't have to prove this to anyone listening. We procrastinate. Yeah. Everyone procrastinates. And, you know, boy, wouldn't the world be nice if we didn't procrastinate. But you know what? Human nature is what it is. We procrastinate. And so do your prospects. So if you've been holding off, if you've been procrastinating, tonight is the last chance for you to get this deal. You may be able to still buy it tomorrow, but in order to get this special deal with these special bonuses, with the extra stuff that I'm throwing in, tonight is the last time that you can get it. So if you've been pondering, if you've been on the fence, it's time to make your decision. You're either in or you're out. And that's what a deadline does. And so automating that, we've seen time and time again. I could list dozens of gurus or marketing thought leaders, James Wedmore being one of them, which is who was put on the mastermind where you and I met, you know, who swear by it and talk about how it's dramatically increased the conversions of the funnel. But we have non-guru, non-thought leading, non-experts who write to us every day and say, man, just this morning, someone said 10x our funnel. Now, that's something that I typically... In the back of my mind, I wonder, did it really 10x? You know, maybe it was 3x, but he said it 10x. Numbers like that I tend not to use on webinars, but because it sounds a little bit almost too good to be true. But people are telling us all the time the types of increase in conversion that they're getting, and it really runs the gamut. But people are getting great results with it. All it does is that, I mean, it's very complicated behind the scenes, but at its core, what it does is that it forces people to make a decision. So again, it's not going to fix bad marketing. It's not going to fix a bad product to market match. But if you've got a valuable service or a valuable product that people want, then there's a lot of people on your list who've seen what you have to offer, but they've just been hitting the snooze button over and over and over again because they're able to. So have them make a decision and you're going to see your sales go up.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, Jack, on a high level, now you were kind of describing how it works, but on a high level from, but don't get too in the weeds now, but from a high level technical standpoint, how does Deadline Funnel work?
Yeah. So one of the big things that we needed it to do was integrate very tightly with email service providers or CRM, whatever term you use. And so that's been something that has been an ongoing effort on our part to very tightly integrate with email service providers. So when someone either adds themselves to your list because they sign up for something, or they're already on your list, but maybe they click a link or they attend a webinar or they do something that adds them into a new sequence, we wanted to make sure from the beginning that you could send them into a sequence of pre-done emails. And at the end of that, you could say, hey, by the way, you know, if you've been hitting the snooze button, today's the last day, et cetera. And what they would see on the sales page, if you wanted to put a countdown timer, would match exactly what was in the email. And so we do a lot of API integrations. Again, I won't try to get any further into the weeds, but we do API integrations with all these different email service providers so that we can make that magic happen. So that when someone is on your list and you're telling them, hey, today is the last day, that sure enough, when they go to the sales page, it is the last day. And then if they miss the deadline, it redirects them to whatever page you want them to go to. And it does a whole lot more than that. We also have the ability to put animated countdown images in the email, which really gets people's attention. But the magic is in making it synced up with what they're also seeing on the sales page. So imagine it like this. So if the wrong way to do it, the sketchy, sleazy way to do it, is to take a countdown timer snippet of code and put it on a sales page, and it, you know, maybe it's protecting that page. You know, it's really tied to that specific page. What we're doing is we're really giving each individual person their own specific deadline as they come through your marketing sequence, whether going through your marketing sequence starts with them adding themselves to your list, or if they're already on your list, but your CRM moves in there. So we're giving each person their own personalized deadline and then syncing that up with your, with the emails that go out. And then one more thing I'll mention is that a tricky bit of technology is being able to make sure that when someone goes from desktop to laptop to mobile device, even if they're on a completely different IP network. So for example, they might be at Starbucks reading your last email. So in that scenario, if that last email that they're reading on their iPhone says, hey, Jack, today is your last day, so click here because otherwise this is going, and you click through, you want to make sure it's absolutely critically important that what they see on their mobile device, if you have a countdown on that page, that it is synced up to what you're saying in the email. It would be really, really bad if they click through and because they were reading that email at Starbucks on their iPhone, that when they click through, they see, oh, there's 7 days left. What the heck? This is, you know, you've lost all sorts of credibility. So we've, again, worked really hard to have that tracking super, super consistent. And that's why so many people rely on our technology to be able to track people from device to device to device and to make sure that it's authentic, because what we do is we leverage marketing automation or help our clients leverage marketing automation. But the whole reason why we built Deadline Funnel was to make it absolutely authentic.
Yeah. And it also solves the problem, as you were talking about there, Jack. One thing that we always, I mean, a lot of people come up against, if you have like a midnight deadline, this solves the problem of having to stay up until midnight and manually redirect something. This will automatically do it for you. This automatically will, as you mentioned before, once the deadline hits, it will redirect you to, you know, whatever page that you put together. Hey, sorry, the offer is, or the promotion is over, whatever that is, solves that problem. I cannot recommend it enough. Like, we've seen increases in our sales using it. It just makes things. You mentioned the marketing automation. That's what it offers for us, because it takes away not only, I mean, it's creating that urgency and scarcity that we do have when we're doing our live launches, but it also, in addition to that, I should say, it also takes away that manual aspect that my team and I have to go in there and take care of. So I want to give people a chance to go check it out. Go check out Deadline Funnel. Where can people go to do that to learn more about it?
Yeah. So if you just want to learn more, you can go to deadlinefunnel.com. However, something special that I want to do for everyone listening, if you're interested in taking the next step and you want to try it out, I'll set up a special deal. So you can go to deadlinefunnel.com/special and then use AOPT, which is short for Art of Paid Traffic. So I'll say it one more time. Go to deadlinefunnel.com/special. And then once you get there, it'll ask you for a code. Put in AOPT, Alpha Oliver Paul Tom, Art of Paid Traffic. And there'll be a special deal there for you.
Awesome. Thank you for putting that together. I'll make sure I have that link in the show notes for the episode. So in case people miss it, they're driving or they're on the treadmill or whatever, they can go check this out and also go take advantage of that special. Jack, thanks for putting that together. And Jack, thank you for coming on the podcast here. This has been really, really interesting. We've kind of got into a lot of theory and principles and stuff like that. But I also like how we were able to make it very actionable for people and how they can leverage this information and this human nature, basically, in their own marketing. So thanks so much for coming on to the show today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I had a blast.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one with Jack today. Really good stuff. I want to ask you right now, if you are liking the podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating review for the show over on iTunes. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. So just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and leave your honest rating review right there. At the time of recording this, we're currently at 194 five-star ratings, and my goal is to hit 200 by the end of the year. We can totally get 6 more by the end of December. So if you've not yet left a rating, please take a quick second to do that. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. Really appreciate it. Also, if there's a topic that you'd like to hear about or a guest that you'd like to hear from here on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. So just tweet me at Rick Mulready, or you can send me an email, which is support@rickmulready.com, or feel free to leave a comment over on the show notes page, which is at rickmulready.com/113. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening to today's episode. Really appreciate it. Coming up in the next episode, I talk with Liston Witherill, who's an expert in conversion rate optimization and honing your business's message. It's a great conversation about what needs to be at the heart of really any business. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in that next episode.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.